that our Gemara, in the context of trying to figure out Hamotzi Mechaver Loparaya and getting into the discussion of when we talk about Holchan B'Mamon Acher HaRov, and we want to figure out who's right. So again, the case that is talked about in so many of these Gemaras, both in Bava Kamma and elsewhere, is the case where the seller sells an ox to the buyer, and the buyer says he bought it for plowing, and therefore it's a problem for him that it's a dangerous ox, and the seller says, I sold it to you for shechita purposes. So among the different factors the Gemara says that should tell us what's going on is, why don't we look at the purchase price? And maybe the purchase price will tell us whether it was meant for one purpose or the other. And then the Gemara says, well, maybe the price of meat went up, so the purchase prices are actually equivalent or comparable. But the Havamina seems to clearly be that there is a role that looking at the money, looking at how much money was paid, that plays as some kind of an indication. So just to speak for a few minutes about that, because elsewhere in Shas we actually find that we don't pay attention to that. So why should this case be different? Why is it that here the money seems to play a role that we pay attention to, or we would have paid attention to if it was helpful? So Tosfos on our daf, Tosfos Dibra Masel V'Nechzi, Tosfos says that it's not the money by itself. Right? It's not all about the money. It's not that we're just looking at the number and that tells us the whole story. Already, both of these opponents, they have something in their favor. So if we're assuming, let's say, it's the case that the Gemara ultimately indicates that the purchaser has a rove on his side, so then he's got the rove, and the seller, who now has the money in his pocket, he's got the muchzak. So each one has certain things going for them. So the money is just an additional push, that once you have the money indicating one way or another, so that maybe would have pushed things over the edge. So either for the muchzak, it's easier to understand that should push things over the edge, and for the motzi, it's a bigger chiddush, because we know he needs a raya, so it's a surprise to say this counts as a raya, but maybe so. Maybe this pushes his rove into something more significant. So having both the rove and the money, that will allow him to make his claim. So far, so good? Everyone following? So if you see the Hagos Ashri quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that's the beginning of Hameniach, the beginning of the third parak, the Hagos Ashri writes that this also just kind of puts it in its place, that yes, the purchase price is limited in how much it can tell us, but it's helpful that it's not contradicting. So if you have a claim and you have a monetary value which is consistent with that claim, it isn't saying something that is out of nowhere that it would have to prove by itself. So that's also why in this Gemara it plays a bigger role. So this is related to the Trumas Hadeshin. I don't know if you had a chance to see the Trumas Hadeshin. It's on the list. It'll take a look more tomorrow. That the Trumas Hadeshin has a discussion, has a tshuva about, let's say, you hire a worker. And the minig will make up the numbers. Let's say you hire a worker, and let's say you pay him $70 a day. And there's also a minig that in this setting, the workers, they have to go travel on behalf of the boss. So there are travel expenses. So the minig is that the boss covers the travel expenses. So let's say they come to about $30. So if the total then would be $100. So let's say the boss just gave the worker a flat out $100 payment. And then the worker comes back and he says, okay, but I had $30 expenses. I want you to reimburse me for my expenses. And the boss says, what do you mean? I gave you a whole package. I gave you 70 plus 30. That was meant to cover your wage and your expenses. So the worker says, no, that's not the case. I assumed that you know how good of a worker I am, or you had some other incentive, so you gave me a higher rate. So you decided to hire me for $100. So that's what I accepted. But I want my $100 and I want my expenses. And the minig says, you pay the expenses. I want both. So the Trumas Hadeshin said, what do you guys think so far? Who wins in this case?
we can base it off what we said yesterday, that perhaps because the employer paid, he knows the intention, that might make his claim stronger.
Okay, right. So it clearly does flow from that. Although here, what makes it a little harder than that is that, you're right, it definitely is a kind of a segue from that discussion to this discussion. The problem is here, there's kind of an implied contract that we have to figure out what the terms are. And the worker can claim, I only agreed to work for you because I thought I was getting this higher rate. In the case we were talking about yesterday, somebody gave money to another person that he didn't have to give. So he should be able to determine whether it's a matana or a halva, and he doesn't have to account for any loss to the other guy. Either way, the guy got a loan or he got a gift. It's not like there's some reciprocity that he has to equal. But here, the worker could say, I worked for you for a day because I thought that's what I was getting paid. I don't accept that you're going to tell me. In fact, maybe I'll say, you bamboozled me. You made me think I was going to get paid more. And here, I'm really only getting the same as I would have gotten otherwise. I'm not interested in a job at the same rate. You fooled me by not making it clear that you were including the expenses in the wages. So you see the difference? So here, the Trumas Hadashin, who does he vote with? He votes with the boss. He says that the boss is right. So the Ksos and the Nesivis and others, they say, what are you talking about? There is a Beferish Gemara not that way. It's the Mishnah and the Gemara in the beginning of Asochar Asapolim. There, the Mishnah talks about if somebody hires workers and he has to follow the Minig HaMedina, he has to follow what is the accepted Minig in terms of treating those workers. So if that means he has to provide them with food, then he has to do that. And even if he increases their wages and then wants to claim that I did that instead of being Mekayim the Minig of providing you with food, so that doesn't stand, and they can say to him, you have other reasons to increase our wages. We're better workers than average. So says the Ksos, says the Nesivis, is that not a favor Shikamara against the Trumas Hadashin? So what do you think? Is there a way to save the Trumas Hadashin here? So there is a discussion about this in the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah in Bava Kamma, where he talks about a comparable kind of case. Let's say a modern day case where you have workers who have expenses and you increase their wages. It's very similar to the Trumas Hadashin's case. You increase their wages and they come back afterwards and they say that it doesn't matter, you increased our wages, we still want our expenses. So what's the story there? So in the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah explains that there's a difference between the Trumas Hadashin and the Gemara, and whether or not this is what the Trumas Hadashin means, he thinks you can explain the Psak this way and it all fits. That you don't have the right to go against the Minig, at least not without mutual agreement. So the Minig is you're providing food and not money for food. So then you have to provide food, and if you threw in extra wages, that's not going to get you out of the Minig. But in the case of the Trumas Hadashin, and in the contemporary case that he suggests to parallel it, says there, the point is you are giving expenses. You're giving money. So the boss is not saying, I'm exempt from the Minig because I paid you more. He's saying, I did the Minig. He's saying that I paid you wages, and I paid you expenses. And how can you tell? You look, you see it matches up. You see that the increase in the expense in the wages was to parallel the expenses. So therefore, he says, in that case, that's not what the Gemara in Bava Metzia is talking about. He's not saying, get me out of the Minig because of my better payment. He's saying that I was Mekayim the Minig. So in that case, it's going to depend on what the numbers show. That if the numbers do match up and the kind of extra payment that he gave does cover the expenses, so then the boss should win and he should be believed in his claim that it was there to be wages plus expenses and he's in fulfillment of the Minig. However, if it was less than the cost of expenses, let's say it comes to the equivalent of 50% of the cost of expenses. So then he has to pay all of the expenses plus. So he's going to have to end up paying more. Why is that? Because then apparently the increase was not for the expenses, because it doesn't rise to that level. So it doesn't go towards it at all, because the increase then was must have been for the purposes of the wages. So it must be indeed like the workers thought, that he was paying them more because they're better workers or because he wanted to incentivize them. And so therefore all the extra is counted simply as wages, and he still has to fulfill the minig of paying their expenses. But if the numbers do match up and it was indeed the cost of the expenses, so then that should be covered. And as the Mishpatei Torah notes, this also would apply if there are other benefits that are not straight monetary benefits. So then the workers have the right still to demand that, even if they're getting a wage, because an increased wage, because that goes back to the case in the Gemara above Mitzia, that the minig is to provide these benefits. He still would have to provide those benefits, unless they have an agreement beforehand that that's not the way they're working. But assuming that's not spelled out that way, then the minig is still dominant. So just to quickly chaz and let you go, I know we're over time and I apologize again for these circumstances, but just to quickly chaz, so we spoke about this question of when does money play a role. Our Gemara makes it sound like money theoretically could play a role, looking at the amount of money in terms of figuring out which side is right. Other Gemaras sound like they don't necessarily make a difference in numbers in terms of proving anybody's point. Tosfos and Ardaf says it's because already each side has an advantage, the role of or the chazaka, so the money just makes that advantage more powerful. And Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Golos Ashri, says, especially since the number doesn't contradict the claim, so it doesn't have that much work to do. It doesn't have to prove something by itself. It just has to be consistent with a existing claim. So we talked about the question from the Sedeshin. If a worker is offered more by the boss and then comes back later and says, but the minig is to pay my expenses, and I want that too. Well, the boss says the extra was to cover the expenses, so who wins? The Shemus Sedeshin says, if it really is the right number, then the boss wins. So the Ksos and the Nesivis ask, but that's against the Gemara at the beginning of the Parakas Socher Sopolim, Bav Mitzia, and Daf Pei Gimel. There's a Mishnah in the Gemara there that says that you're obligated to stick to the minig, and even if you pay the workers more, you can't use that as an excuse to get out of the minig. Seems befeirish against the Shemus Sedeshin. So the Mishpatei Torah explains that, no, if he's trying to get out of a side minig or a minig to provide physical food, let's say, okay, so then the extra wage is not going to do it. But here, he's not trying to get out of the minig. He's saying, I fulfilled the minig. I gave you the wage plus the expenses. And the numbers back me up because they match. So in that case, okay, so then maybe he should be right, and that should cover it. But if the wages were less than the expenses, so then it doesn't count at all towards the expenses, because then it supports the claim of the workers that, oh, you were paying us more because you wanted to get us better workers, and therefore expenses would be on a totally separate cheshbon. So kind of a very brief shiur today, but we did get a davar shalom, so that's just what I wanted to get out, that nekuda about where we use the numbers as proof one way or another. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we want to still talk about Neskak and the Tavei Tchila, other dinim on our daf, perhaps one or two other points, and then we'll be able to move forward. So we didn't have time to discuss the halachas of permakotin, so one should assume, because we didn't get a chance to talk about that, one should be machmir to have extra simcha, extra suda today, and God willing, I look forward to seeing you guys in person tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Abby.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.